Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Thursday, March 2nd, day 61 in our journey through the Bible. My name is Jaden Tulip from England and Vancouver, Canada, currently living in Qatar, and we're about to read through the Bible.
Thank you, Jaden. And yes, indeed, welcome to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are reading through the Bible. That's something we do every day. We take a little time in God's Word. We let God's Word take a little time on us. And oh, how we need that. Hey, if you're interested in introducing the podcast for us on any given day, you go ahead and email me and I'll reach back out and I'll let you know all you need to know. And we'll get you introducing the Daily Radio Bible. I love this new feature. I love having you guys participate in this thing that we're doing here. Well, this thing that we're doing today is reading through the book of Numbers, chapters 30 and 31. And then we go on to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Numbers chapter 30. Laws concerning vows. Then Moses summoned the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. If a young woman makes a vow to the Lord or a pledge under oath while she is still living at her father's home, and her father hears of the vow or pledge and does not object to it, then all her vows and pledges will stand. But if her father refuses to let her fulfill the vow or pledge on the day he hears of it, then all the vows and pledges will become invalid. The Lord will forgive her because her father would not let her fulfill them. Now suppose a young woman makes a vow or binds herself with an impulsive pledge and later marries. If her husband learns of her vow or pledge and does not object on the day he hears of it, her vow and pledge will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept her vow or impulsive pledge on the day he hears of it, he nullifies her commitments and the Lord will forgive her. If, however, a woman is a widow or is divorced, she must fulfill all her vows and pledges. But suppose a woman is married and living in her husband's home. When she makes a vow or binds herself with a pledge, if her husband hears of it and does not object to it, her vow and pledge will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept it on the day he hears of it, her vow or pledge will be nullified and the Lord will forgive her. So her husband may either confirm or nullify any vow or pledge she makes to deny herself. But if he does not object on the day he hears of it, then he is agreeing to all her vows and pledges. If he waits more than a day and then tries to nullify a vow or pledge, he will be punished for her guilt." These are the regulations the Lord gave Moses concerning relationships between a man and his wife and between a father and a young daughter who still lives at home. Numbers 31. Conquest of the Midianites. Then the Lord said to Moses, "On behalf of the people of Israel, take revenge on the Midianites for leading them into idolatry. After that, you will die and join your ancestors." So Moses said to the people, "Choose some men and arm them to fight the Lord's war of revenge against Midian. From each tribe of Israel, send 1,000 men into battle." So they chose 1,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel, a total of 12,000 men armed for battle. Then Moses sent them out, 1,000 men from each tribe, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, led them into battle. They carried along the holy objects of the sanctuary and the trumpets for sounding the charge. They attacked Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed all the men, all five of the Midianite kings, Evi, Rakem, Zur, Hur, and Reba died in the battle. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. Then the Israelite army captured the Midianite women and children and seized their cattle and flocks and all their wealth as plunder. They burned all the towns and villages where the Midianites had lived. After they had gathered the plunder and captives, both people and animals, they brought them all to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the whole community of Israel, which was camped at the plains of Moab, beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp, but Moses was furious with all the generals and captains who had returned from the battle. "Why have you let all the women live?" he demanded. These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people. So kill all the boys and all the women who have had intercourse with a man. Only the young girls who are virgins may live. You may keep them for yourselves. And all of you who have killed anyone or touched a dead body must stay outside the camp for 7 days. You must purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd and 7th days. Purify all your clothing too and everything made of leather, goat hair, or wood. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men who were in the battle, "The Lord has given Moses this legal requirement. Anything made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, that is all metals that do not burn, must be passed through fire in order to be made ceremonially pure. These metal objects must then be further purified with the water of purification. But everything that burns must be purified by the water alone. On the 7th day, you must wash your clothes and be purified. Then you may return to the camp." And the Lord said to Moses, "You and Eleazar the priest and the family leaders of each tribe are to make a list of all the plunder taken in the battle, including the people and animals. Then divide the plunder into 2 parts and give half to the men who fought in the battle and half to the rest of the people from the army's portion. First give the Lord his share from the plunder, 1 of every 500 of the prisoners and of the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Give this share of the army's half to Eleazar the priest as an offering to the Lord. From the half that belongs to the people of Israel, take 1 of every 50 of the prisoners and of the cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, and other animals. Give these share to the Levites who are in charge of maintaining the Lord's tabernacle." So Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. The plunder remaining from everything the fighting men had taken totaled 675,000 sheep and goats, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 virgin girls. Half of the plunder was given to the fighting men. It totaled 337,500 sheep and goats, of which 675 were the Lord's share, 36,000 cattle, of which 72 were the Lord's share, 3,500 donkeys, of which 61 were the Lord's share, and 16,000 virgin girls, of whom 32 were the Lord's share. Moses gave all the Lord's share to Eleazar the priest, just as the Lord had directed him. Half of the plunder belonged to the people of Israel, and Moses separated it. From the half belonging to the fighting men, it totaled 337,500 sheep and goats, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 virgin girls. From the half share given to the people, Moses took 1 of every 50 prisoners and animals and gave them to the Levites who maintained the Lord's tabernacle. All this was done as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then all the generals and captains came to Moses and said, "We, your servants, have accounted for all the men who went out to battle under our command. Not one of us is missing. So we are presenting the items of gold we captured as an offering to the Lord from our share of the plunder, armbands, bracelets, rings, earrings, and necklaces. This will purify our lives before the Lord and make us right with him." So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from all the military commanders, all kinds of jewelry and crafted objects. In all, the gold that the generals and captains presented as a gift to the Lord weighed about 420 pounds. All the fighting men had taken some of the plunder for themselves, so Moses and Eleazar the priest accepted the gifts from the generals and captains and brought the gold to the tabernacle as a reminder to the Lord that the people of Israel belonged to him. Mark chapter 9. Jesus went on to say, "I tell you the truth, some standing right here will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power." So 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, 1 for you, 1 for Moses, and 1 for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. As they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves. But they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Then they asked him, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus responded, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. Yet why do the scriptures say that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be treated with utter contempt? But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they chose to abuse him just as the scriptures predicted." When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk, and whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" asked Jesus. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead." They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me." John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fire of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how will you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. Our reading starts with these obscure instructions on how to be released from a vow or binding agreement for a married woman or an unmarried daughter. It was pretty simple. Go to your father or your husband, let them know of the vow, and if they don't approve, they have the power to nullify and forgive and to release you from that vow, from that promise, from that agreement. Well, in our reading in Mark chapter 9, Jesus gives some very stern and sobering warnings on the power of sin and the extreme measures we're to take in order to be released from the power of sin and its consequences. Jesus sounds quite Old Testament here when he says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut them off. Or if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Jesus is showing us here that sin works like an agreement. We make vows with our sin, agreements with our sin. It's as if we make contractual arrangements with our sin. Sin says to the hand, do this, and I will reward you with that. Sin says to the eye, do this, and I will reward you with that. Now, Jesus isn't advocating mass amputations here. He's simply emphasizing in the strongest language our deep need to be free from sin's control. Literally, severing our limbs is not the answer, but severing our agreements and our vows that we've made with the sin. That is the answer. And we do that, wonderfully enough, the same way that we see it done in Numbers chapter 30. We go to our Father, and we confess the vow that we've made with sin, the agreement, the promise that is ruining our lives. And He, our Father, He is the one who can absolve us from this vow. He can break the contract. He frees us from sin's power and control. It doesn't happen by magic words. It happens because He pays the price for our sin. The demands of the vow are met with Him. He alone has the power to free us from the agreements we have made with sin, and He alone can take those vows and the deceitful contracts and tie them to a millstone and throw them into the sea. Are you trapped in the grip of sin? Has it reached out and grabbed your hand? Has it laid hold of your foot? Has it captured your eye? Then take that agreement to your Father. Confess this deceitful vow that you have made with sin to Him, and He will free you. He will release you. He will make you new. He can do that. The prayer of my own heart today, my friend, is that I will always be ready to take the vows and the agreements that I've made with sin, that my hand and foot and eye have made with sin, to bring them to my Father, who has the power to break those vows. He broke the vows that the world had made with sin on the cross. And as I come and live under the shadow of the cross, as I allow the Holy Spirit to reoccupy this body of mine, as I do that, I'll be free. My hand will be free, my foot will be free, my eye will be free, I will be free. And that's the prayer that I have for my own soul today. That's the prayer I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Hey, dailyradiobible.com. That's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs, and it's always a blessing to find out about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So if you've got a moment, take it and let a body know. Send me an email at hunter@dailyradiobible.com, or even better, send me a voicemail. Use that voicemail app that you have on your phone. And send me a recording. Tell me how God is using the Bible in your life. Maybe God's given you a word of encouragement. Maybe he has strengthened you with his word. He's challenged you with the word. Well, send that voicemail to me at hunter@dailyradiobible.com. And on Tuesdays, when we have Testimony Tuesday, I'll attach that to the end of the podcast, and it'll be a blessing to all of us. So consider sharing on Testimony Tuesday by sending me a voicemail. Another way that you can participate in this podcast is by offering us an introductory reading for the podcast, just as you heard Jaden do today. If you're interested in doing that, send me an email at hunter@dailyradiobible.com, and we'll get you up and running. Hey, my friend Luz wrote in yesterday, and she said that she was really interested about my connection with the Gospel of Mark. I don't know if I've made mention of this year or not, but some of you who've been around here for a while know that I do have a special connection with this gospel. I guess it's been almost 16, 17 years now. I've been performing the Gospel of Mark. That might sound a little strange to perform the gospel, but as most of you know, my background before I was a pastor, I was a professor of theater and communication, and I performed the Gospel of Mark. I memorized Mark's Gospel word for word, and then I would go around giving dramatic retellings of it wherever God would open the door. I've performed Mark's Gospel all over the world in all different kinds of places and circumstances, from federal penitentiaries to schools, lots of churches, just about anywhere I can get my foot in the door. And so I have this great affection for Mark's Gospel. It has been a book that has changed my life. I never anticipated being a pastor, but it was this experience with the Gospel of Mark that brought about a call to pastoral ministry and a deep love for the Word of God. So hey, if you're interested in having me come to your community, whether it's a church or school or wherever you would like me to perform the Gospel of Mark, send me an email, and who knows? Who knows what'll happen? Well, hey, I'm glad this thing's happening here every day at the Daily Radio Bible. I really am. I can't believe we get to do this. If you'd like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, we've made that easy. You can go to dailyradiobible.com, click on the partner link. You can do that right from the app itself. Or if you're old school and you want to mail it in, you can mail your gift to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And you remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.